Horror Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today.
So today I want to talk about two simple things: joy and peace, or peace and joy, or joy and peace. I like to say joy and peace because the angel said there's good news of great joy, and then it says peace on earth. And also I like to do it that way. I like to say joy and peace because joy came in first and then peace. I'll tell you why in a little bit, right? So every Christmas we hear these words, joy and peace and joy and peace, and they're everywhere. You see it in the Christmas cards, you see it in the storefronts, you see it online, you see it in social media. But many people come to church and they celebrate Christmas, and they might even try to avoid Christmas, yet hoping for some type of joy or peace, but not experiencing it, not really being able to express it. Because some people, when this season comes, they come with heavy hearts, anxious minds, strained relationships, and guilt, and fears that they cannot escape. But yet, God speaks into the world, into the real world, into your world, in my world. He's not silent. God speaks into it. And actually, the angels get loud. They shout, they sing, and they do all this stuff because, you know, there is one that can lift the burdens of our hearts. They proclaim that there's one that can calm your anxieties. There is one, they shout, that can mend your relationships. There is one, they declare, that can shake off whatever guilt you carry. They sing and comfort because the one that came can cast out all fears. So there's an antidote to all of that. Now, it was nighttime. It was dark. The shepherds were watching their sheep at night. Ordinary routine, unseen, nobody cares for them while they care for the sheep. Then suddenly, light shines, glory comes, and fear. Did you see that? The glory of God, the light comes on, and fear. Usually it happens the other way. Usually when the lights come on, fear gets dissipated. The only time your fears get deeper is when the light comes on and your sin is revealed. You see that? And I think that's the fear right there. The shepherds experience the fear, not because they're like, it's just a, wow, this is a great light, we didn't expect that. Wow, there's a great light, and whoa, there's an angel. The fear really came through and true when they saw the light and they see this angel, because they know that God is about to do something. And the God that they believe in is a God who is holy. And if he shows up, you're in deep trouble. Light comes on, fear comes on. So they bring the announcement. And this is an announcement that's going to change everything. And you know, of course, Most good announcements, most good news come with fanfare and trumpets and everything, right? I mean, when you do a gender reveal, you do all this balloon popping and powder colored whatever going everywhere and screaming and yelling, ah, right? I mean, when we have good news, we try to do all this stuff. We gather the crowds and we just yell it out loud. But God announces the greatest news in human history. Did you get that? The greatest news in human history. And he didn't call upon the empire. ruling the world. He didn't call on the emperors and the fancy and the elite and the politicians and the big people. He called upon a group of lowly and lonely shepherds in the dark. He called on to them. They were in the field. And he comes through a baby in a trough, in a feeding trough. Come on. That's how God works. No wonder his glory is hidden in all of this. But you know what? Even when the glory of God is hidden, it is never absent. I want you to think about that. Just because you can't see the glory of God doesn't mean that the glory of God is not present. God is ever present. He is everywhere. In Luke 2, we see the heavens open its mouth to announce the birth of Christ. A birth that they had not seen yet, of course. But Jesus becomes their joy so that he can become their peace. I want us to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Let's check out the story and see how it goes. Now, we saw last week the first 7 verses where Mary actually has the baby and wraps him in swaddling cloths and put him in a feeding trough for a manger. Now, while this is happening in that manger, in that little cave where animals are kept, there's this group of shepherds in the dark, in the fields. And in verse 8 it says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But that angel, the angel said to them, check this out, do not fear, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good news of what? Great joy, which will be for all people, not just for you, but for all people. For today in the city of David, remember we talked about that last week, there has been born for you a what? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now today I'm going to look at just 3 things: the joy, the peace, and how that lines us up on a path to Calvary. So this morning I want us to see that joy and peace that was promised at Christmas. And no matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in, and what difficulties and sadness, you know, and we may have strong emotions about what's going on in our lives, but in the right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we can have joy and everlasting peace that he offers. But you have to surrender to him. You have to come and bring yourself to him. Remember, the shepherds didn't bring no gifts. They just brought themselves. You don't have to be like the Magi if you don't have anything. Just bring yourself. You should close it right here. Amen? No, we don't. So what heaven announces, then we must respond to. So let's look at a couple of things. First of all, let's look at the hidden joy. Good news of what? Great joy. Joy, joy, joy. I want us to think about that, because, you see, we notice that the angel does not say, hey, your problems are over. Hey, life will be easy from now on. Hey, Rome is defeated. You don't have to worry about your oppressor. That's not what the angel says. The angel says there is joy. Imagine these lowly shepherds sitting in the dark in the fields, rejected by society, thinking, what's there to be joyful of? What's there to be joyful about? Here we are, cast out from society, and you come up from the heavens saying, joy! That's scary. Of course, fear starts dominating their lives, and it does. the fear of loss, the fear of failure, the fear of death, the fear of the unknown. We struggle with all those fears in our lives. Yet, the angel says there is joy. Joy. I want you to understand that replacing fear with joy is not by changing circumstances. It's about Jesus' presence in our circumstances. Amen? You see, God can change your circumstances all the time. And you're going to feel sometimes happy, sometimes bad. But when you, no matter what circumstances, understand that Jesus has come to visit you, to stay, that his presence is there, that he is with you, that he is your joy, all of a sudden that changes everything, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. So you need to be careful. Biblical joy is not a reaction to better circumstances. Biblical joy is not a reaction to, wow, how lucky I am. I struck luck. Like, you know, like the lotto that's $1 billion. Did you see that? Some of you know because you played it. I'm just kidding. I just saw it the other day on the news. Someone was saying, you know that the lottery jackpot is up to $1 billion? Wow. I mean, that would change my circumstance, but wouldn't that change yours? Would that give you some joy? No, don't say no. Of course it would, but it'll bring a bunch of preoccupations and worries and everything too, right? Why would I worry having $1 billion? I don't know. But have you noticed how there are many billionaires and millionaires that take their lives? See, joy is not in the money. Joy is in a person. This is why Scripture commands us. You see, I want you to understand, Jesus doesn't suggest you have joy. God doesn't say, hey, rejoice if you can. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, what? Rejoice. Now, if you look at that, the intention of the gospel or the writer here, Paul, he's not just saying, I suggest you start being joyful. No, he's saying, you need to be joyful. You better be joyful. Be joyful. It's a command. You see, this is important. Fear has to flee at the presence of the Savior. Fear has to flee at the presence of the Savior. But sometimes we like to make room for our Savior and some fear on the side. Sometimes we just like to make room for fear and for our Savior on the side. That's our choice. Parents, if you're willing to admit it or not, it's okay. But I'm going to ask you, or maybe you as a child, did you ever get lost in a shopping center or something? Did you ever lose one of your children in a shopping center or a crowded place at a fair or something, and they wandered off, and then you wanted to go seek and kill? You wanted to seek and kill the person that took your child, or wanted to seek and kill your child after you found them? Right, but I want you to think, the child gets lost. And I mean, usually the kid starts crying, the kid starts screaming, ah, mama, I want my mama, I want my daddy, whatever, you know, and, you know, in the middle of the crowd. But think about what happens. What joy floods the child when daddy shows up and picks him up into his arms. When, you know, joy when daddy embraces me or mommy because the relationship has been restored. What joy. What spanking too. But I want you to think of this, because think of the shepherds afraid. Think of you and I afraid of whatever is going on. And then all of a sudden your eyes are unveiled and you see Jesus right in front of you. What would you do? I don't know about you. I know I'm heavy, but I'll climb up in his arms like that with quickness. He's here. Oh, my God. Have you seen the faces of these children when they're found? It changes everything when the parent shows up. How's Jesus showing up change your life? Many people chase joy by trying to fix their circumstances. Better finances will make you joyful. Better health, better relationships, better whatever. Yeah, of course that'll help. But Christmas and the joy of Christmas doesn't come from a better situation. It comes from a better Savior than what you think. So the question is, are you trying to find joy? Or are you trusting the one who is your joy? And it's that person named Jesus who is joy. Is he in your life? Whatever your circumstances may be, there's always a reason to celebrate Jesus being present in our lives. You know, I understand that the holidays and the Christmas season may bring some painful memories of people who are not here with us anymore celebrating Christmas. Or the current situation that's going on out there with so many things may just take or suck the joy out of Christmas. But you know what? Whatever circumstances, whatever difficulties, whatever suffering, whatever we may have gone through and think about Christmas, Christmas is still Christmas. Jesus came to save. And none of our suffering and none of our circumstances should bring darkness or hide the light that is in Christmas. So don't stop. It is good news of great joy. Joy is here. The Savior's here. Joy is something. No, joy is not just something Jesus gives you apart from himself. No, he gives you joy because he gives himself. Amen? Joy. Now let's talk about the next one. Peace. Peace. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among men with whom he is pleased. This verse is kind of misunderstood in many ways. You see, the angels are not saying, this is the end of all wars. Conflict has stopped. No more conflict. No more suffering. That is not the promise. You see, the Jews thought about that. They thought, hey, when the Messiah comes, there'll be end of conflicts. Rome will be defeated. No more rules. No more violence. No more suffering. But what happened? What kind of peace was the angel talking about? Peace with God. That's the big difference. I want you to understand what Romans says. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul wants more. He writes, therefore, since we have been what? Justified by faith. We have what? Peace with God. Does that stop there? No. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace through Christ. We have peace with the Father through the Son. With the Father through the Son and only through the Son. Jesus is the author of peace. He made peace for us. Jesus is the author of joy because, imagine, making peace with God. Yeah, joyful. The greatest conflict in the world is not between the nations that are fighting each other. It's not between Russia and Ukraine. That is not the biggest conflict. The greatest conflict in our country is not between a Democrat and a Republican. The greatest conflict in our city is not between Hispanics and ICE. See, the greatest conflict in the whole universe is between sinful humanity and a holy God. That's the biggest conflict. That's the one conflict that needs to be resolved in people's hearts, yours personally and mine, each of us. If that conflict is not resolved, we have lost the war, period. We're doomed. You see, it's between you and God. It's between me and God. It's personal. And Christmas is the announcement that God himself came to make peace. You know, we see right now that all these conflicts going on, and people are trying to send envoys to Ukraine to try to get Zelensky to be convinced to do this and do that to have peace, or talking to Putin about this to have peace. And it's just not working, right? We see that in so many other conflicts. But this is not, can you imagine if Zelensky, just as an example, would get on a plane and fly to Moscow and go straight to Putin face to face and say, hey, can we have peace? They'd probably kill each other or something, right? We'd get shot at. But no, they're sending representatives because they can't do it themselves. And guess what God did with you? You have sinned against me, and I'm going to go myself in the person of Christ to make peace with you. No wonder it's scary. No wonder that the holy God would show up to a sinful person. I want you to understand that the heart of God and what he wants. Jesus was walking and he looked at the city of Jerusalem. And in Luke 19 in verses 41 and 42, he says, when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. Why? If you had known in this day, Jesus said, even you, the things which make for your peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. Their eyes were veiled, even after Jesus had shown up. Jesus wants to unveil our eyes to his glory, so that we may see and experience his joy and peace. You know that a few months ago, Israel and Palestine signed an accord, right? Ceasefire. Is that peace? No, because a few days later, they were hitting each other again. They signed an agreement to cease fire. But peace has not come to the region. And that's what happens a lot of times. Christmas is not a ceasefire between you and God and God and you. Christmas is a reconciliation, true peace. But reconciliation costs something. Someone has to give in. Someone has to give up. Someone has to pay. And that's the joy of Christmas, that the peace of God can come without you having to pay for it, without me having to pay for it. Because he said, I'll pay the full price so that you can have peace with me. You cannot have the peace of God until you have peace with God. I've said that way too many times in the past 27 years. I think if you look at all my sermons on Christmas, you'll find this phrase somewhere in there a few times. You cannot have peace of God unless you have peace with God. See, sin has separated humanity from God, separated you personally from God, because you and I are sinful and he is holy like no other. No matter how much effort you make in being a moral person, and being a good person, being a religious person, we cannot bridge the gap between God and ourselves. Jesus is the only one. Peace is not earned by anyone. Peace is given. Remember when Jesus said, my peace I give you. Not like this world. My peace. His peace is something else. So the question is, are you trusting your goodness? Are you trusting yourself, or are you trusting Christ's work? See, peace is not found in control over your circumstances. Peace is surrendering your circumstances. It's totally the opposite. Have you been trying in your heart to calm something down? Surrender it instead of trying so hard. Peace is not fountain getting your way. You think about that. It's not about, once I get my way, I'll have peace. Peace is trusting God's way. There's too many things here. And now, by the way, last question on this point, and we'll move on to the last one. Has peace found you? Because you cannot find peace. No matter how much you look for it, peace has to find you. And his name is Jesus, Prince of Peace. Last but not least, this joy and peace, what does it do? It puts us on a path. It reveals a path. This is amazing. I want you to think about this. The glory of Christ starts in a crib but ends in a cross. You have to go to the cross. You can't stay at the crib. Do you want your baby to stay at the crib their whole life? No. The moment they start jumping off that crib and crawling off of it, and you're like, whoa, we got to get a bigger cage. No. That's the moment you start taking the bars and making it a daybed for them to get on and get off. Maybe some of your children you wanted to put a top on it. I don't know. But the deal is that you want them to grow out of the crib and fulfill their purpose. Jesus did not stay in a trough. Jesus did not stay in a crib. He went all the way to the cross. So the glory is not revealed also through power, but through humility. Humbling himself from the crib to the cross. And you think about the baby in a manger who was out there in the middle of nowhere in the dark, rejected by his own, and then dies a criminal death. What a path from the cradle to the cross. And we see the angels singing, and we see this song that points forward. Glory to God in the highest. What glory could a baby born in a stable have? What glory is there in being born in the midst of animals in a stinky stable? That doesn't have any glory. But when the angels sing glory, that's pointing forward, pointing to his purpose in his life. The angels sing of glory, but the glory has still hidden. He'll grow up to suffer. And his resurrection, oh my God, what glory will be revealed. Joy will come through sorrow. Though the sorrow may come through the night, his joy comes in the morning. The psalmist said, peace only comes through sacrifice. There's no other way. And you didn't have to sacrifice anything for peace. Because he already did. See, the peace that was announced at his birth will be purchased later in his death. Beautiful. Christmas joy leads to Calvary's peace. Christmas joy leads to Calvary's peace. You see why I like to put joy first and then peace? Joy will lead to peace. The joy of Christmas, leading to Calvary's peace. Every gift, like I said, has a cost. Even if you receive a gift and you didn't pay for it, somebody had to pay for that. From the cradle to the cross. It was on God's mind the whole time. Last night in a meeting, I was telling some good people, this thing that happened in Christmas was announced. But it was announced 100, 200, 300, 400, 700 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 4,000 years prior. If you believe like me that the earth is only 6,000 years, Jesus came at 4,000 years of existence of this what we call creation, 4,000 years. And his birth was mentioned at the beginning of those 4,000 years in Genesis chapter 3. Amazing. And then when we read, it says that before the even creation, before things were made, before anything, it was already destined and it was already done in God's minds and his heart. His plans were already signed, sealed, fixing to be delivered, that he would do this and that he would come the way he did. You see, this is not haphazard or luck or chance. There was a plan from the beginning that God will show himself and that his peace will come through his presence, that his peace would come through his power. What an amazing thing. That his peace would come through his promise from the beginning. Now, that's why you cannot separate the cradle from the cross. You cannot separate Christmas from the cross. Because we don't celebrate a Jesus that stayed in a manger. We celebrate a Jesus that got out of there and went all the way to the cross and rose again. Someone said, I can't find the author of this, but I read this and I thought it was nice. The glory of God shines the highest where love pays the highest cost. The glory of God shines the brightest where love pays the highest cost. The joy of Christmas? Yeah, pretty costly. The peace of Christmas? Paid by his blood. Joy came in a cradle. Peace came at the cross. But both of them are found in the one person who is Jesus the Christ. So, joy is offered. The angel said, I got good news of great joy. You want to be joyful? It's been offered to you. But it requires that you surrender in faith, that you trust him, that you believe him. You want peace with God? You need to trust that he paid for it. You cannot just receive Christ partially. You cannot just take it in and take whatever parts you want. Oh, I like this about Jesus. I like that about God. I like this about the Holy Spirit. What I don't like is this. You know what you're doing when you do that? When you don't surrender wholly, and I mean W-H-O, wholly to Christ, you're making up your own God. You're making up your own Christ that doesn't exist, only in your mind and heart. But you have to surrender to the whole person of Christ. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And guess what? There's no bad or ugly in him. You cannot receive him on your terms. Jesus is not an addition to your life. This is one of the worst things that people do. They want Jesus to be part of their lives. Jesus don't want to be part of your life. Jesus wants to be your life, period. He is Lord. Lord means owner, master. He wants to master your life. He wants to lord over your life. He wants to take over your life and say, I own you. And you owe it to him. We owe it to him. So the question is, great. You've been to Christmas. You've been to the cradle. Have you been to the cross?
Corinth Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life and you would like to listen to previous sermons or more information about our church, visit our website, www.corinthnola.com.